Tuesday, January 31st, and this is Geek Nights. Tonight, we nominally talk about gaming clubs with our returning guest, Emily, but we mostly just run off on a whole bunch of tangents.
Let's do this!
So we're here, and once again, we have a guest, Emily, who's been on the show before.
Yep. Hello! Yay. So, I don't really have much of a thing of the day, except if you want to hear about how to chop onions the right way. I found a video about the correct way to chop onions, but I figure, you know, that might not have a sufficient quotient of geek.
Well, we did do a whole episode on food one time.
On food.
It wasn't really so much about food, but it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
It was funny stories about food. Yeah.
Yeah. It was just an excuse to get Adam on the show.
Yeah.
Well, I've just, you know, come to the conclusion that my food skills are less than adequate, so I was, like, poking around online, searching for the correct way to stir fry. But anyway, instead of doing a thing of the day so much, I thought I'd relate an anecdote, a weird thing that happened to me yesterday. Because I've been back home for the last couple of weeks because, you know, I'm going abroad and I'm not back in school. And so I just came back to New York to start to, you know, wrap things up. And, you know, I had to go see a few of my teachers and, you know, see my roommate for the last time and everything like that. And so it was kind of funny, too, because I bought my computer. And then...
She's got a sexy little MacBook now.
Its name is Ayumu-kun.
It's an iBook.
It's just an iBook. Oh, but it's so wonderful. But anyway, so the credit card cut me off because I'd never made a purchase over, like, $30 or something. And they're like, woo, computer sale, what? And then they shut it off, so I had to... You know, after this big dramatic exit of like, goodbye everyone, I shan't see you for so long, I come running back upstairs like 5 minutes later being like, I can't get in the subway, I have no money, give me $2, you know?
I remember my credit card did that to me when I first ordered my computer when I was in high school.
Oh, it was so bad.
Because I charged like $3,000, they must have thought, there's no way a kid in high school has $3,000, something's wrong.
Well, yeah. I had problems where the addresses would be messed up, but I never had problems with spending too much money.
Well, a lot of credit cards, mostly debit cards more than credit cards. In fact, almost exclusively debit cards will do this. If you take out too much money all at once, they'll flag your account and lock it until you call them and tell them that no one stole your card.
I guess it's a good thing that I have a credit card and not a debit card then.
I was late for my train and, I get up to Grand Central and I'm just kind of hanging around. I have about half an hour until my train comes, so I'm in the Great Hall. Just kind of watching the people, kind of out of the way, leaning against the wall, and there's this girl next to me reading a book. Like, she's sitting on the floor a couple of yards away. And I'm not paying any attention, you know. I'm just kind of watching and spacing out and got my computer. And so she, you know, this guy in a leather jacket comes up and says something, then walks away, and, you know, not paying attention. And then a few minutes later, you know, he's kind of creepy looking, but there's people all around. I'm not paying any attention. And then a few minutes later, this guy comes back and he's acting like kind of weird. He's like, and he says in this like creepy hitting on a woman sort of voice, like, hey, lady, that's a nice book you got there. And, you know, he's being a creep. And the lady's like, get away from me. I told you I'm not interested. She's like, what? Get away from me. I told you to go away. And then he starts, like, getting in close to her and cornering her. And, like, he hunches down and he's, like, trying to force a kiss on her. And I'm like, oh, my God. It's, like, some sort of rapist, molester, just this jerk.
Aren't there, like, cops everywhere?
Well, you know, it was kind of out of the way.
There's army guys right there. Army guys with guns.
No, we were kind of, you know, one of those. And, you know, there weren't a whole lot of people where we were. We're kind of, like, in a corner out of the main place where people go. But anyway, it was like, what the heck? This is like really, really out of line here. And so I'm like, what a creep. And so I come up, I like kind of was like, grr. And I was gonna, I run up and I'm like, yo, what the hell? I was gonna kick him in the head. I had like my leg all raised up, like I was gonna kick him in the face and then we were gonna run away. And then the girl turns around, like, with this weird expression on her face, and she starts laughing. The guy turns around, like, utterly flabbergasted, like, what? And then I realized, I'm like, oh my God, you guys were just fooling around. And they're like, yeah, I was like, oh, they're a couple. But we were laughing so hard, and she's like, no, seriously, we were just acting, but if he had been for real, you would have totally been my hero. And she's like, you totally almost got your ass kicked by a girl. So we hung out for like about 5 minutes, and then like I went home on the train, and I felt kind of good about myself because I was thinking like, it turned out okay, but if he had been like a real jerk who was trying to like be like, what was that?
Just keep talking.
Okay. Then I would have totally been brave enough to go and stand up for that girl. And she said that. And I was like,
yeah, you totally stepped up in that
situation.
I was
like, I'm going to go kick you.
That's a lot like the purse snatching story.
Yeah, that's what Rim said. You know, and that's what makes me feel really good about New York. Like,
yeah, for everyone who's down on the city, I mean, look at this. Every time something bad's about to happen, everyone around just kind of steps up and does the right thing.
Well, it's like, kind of like after 9/11. It's like people really pull together and they'd help each other out.
I
like,
was
total
always
stranger.
Like that.
What?
Just people led stereotypes and they were scared because they're wussy suburbanites. The city's
yeah.
always been that way.
Well,
it's not
was,
dangerous
no.
unless you go like...
The city was kind of
no,
dangerous
it was
in the 70s.
Back in the 70s.
In the 70s, but we weren't even
the
alive
80s,
then.
But even in the 80s and the early 90s, I mean, even in just the past decade, it's gotten a lot better as far as crime rates and just cleaned up a lot. But, you know, and some people have mixed emotions about, like, the Disneyfication and the Giuliani years or whatever. But, you know, it's... It's a good place to live. It's really...
I think a bright and shiny yeah. Times Square is at least a lot cooler than a porn shop-filled Times
yeah,
Square.
Yeah, and I mean...
Yeah, I just miss my three-card Monty.
I guess...
Yeah, three-card Monty, that's a wonderful font of...
entertainment, yes.
Well, I guess I'm just coming from the angle of, like, you know, I live in Manhattan, so I can't really speak much for some of the neighborhoods, like, in the Bronx and stuff, because some of those are still a little iffy. But, you know, New York's a good city.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and I really want
to live there. Go to Baltimore, seriously.
Yeah.
There you go. Yeah.
I mean, I love Baltimore, but goddamn, there are a lot of angry homeless people following me around whenever I walk outside.
I mean, it's
no
like I remember I worked at a summer camp once, and the other counselor was from, like, the worst place in all of Chicago area. Like, the worst place. And she was like, you know, people think that, you know, you suburban people think that, like, you go to a neighborhood like Harlem where there's a bunch of black people all standing around in the street, and they think that that's, like, a slum and it's scary and dangerous. She's
no,
like,
there's
that's
people
not...
in the street.
Yes, yeah, yes, that's
like,
the point.
He's like, that's not dangerous. That's a great place to go. You know, where I've been... You know, every single window has bars over it. No one's out on the street, and the sniper's in every window. That's a dangerous neighborhood.
Well, you gotta say, though, even, like, you know, Alphabet City and the East Village and stuff, that's cleaned up a lot since, because my uncle used to live there, and he was telling stories about, he kind of liked living in the building he was living in, because it was run by drug dealers, but they had snipers on the roof, so all other petty crime kind of cleared out, and as long as you didn't mess with the drug people, they'd leave you alone, and it was kind of like your building was protected by
criminals. Oh, it's like in City of God when Lil Zay and Benny kind of cleaned up the town, even though they were selling drugs.
Yeah, it's like any mafia.
Know.
If there's any sort of mafia or gang in charge, they don't let any other mafias or gangs come in. And as long as the police don't try to come in, no one really fights or kills each other. There's not a lot of violence. It's
so
just,
what do you do when a cruise ship with 1,000 yakuza on it parks in your harbor?
Dum, dum, dum.
Bring out the pirates.
Yeah,
I don't know.
We've had people complain about inside jokes before. So, yes, that was an inside joke. Read a manga called Sanctuary.
It's out of print, but I can get it for you if you really want to.
Yeah.
And we'll
do a
makes
show
the
on
potty
it someday.
Face. Can I spoil it?
No, don't spoil it. It's like the best manga ever.
No,
it's
I'm
one
kidding.
Of the best mangas ever. It's
well,
not,
it's
not
certainly
the best.
It's not up there with, you know, Cantarella or Bride of Dumos.
Cantarella! Oh my god! I don't know why I read Cantarella Volume 2 when we were in the anime store.
Oh, you did read it.
Yeah, I did read
sure,
it.
Sure, most of it.
That's what I was making fun of when I was drawing all those little pictures.
Oh, you're making
when
fun
we were
of Volume 1.
I don't remember. Did we actually talk about Cantarella on the show?
I think we did.
Yeah, Cantarella is awesome.
Yeah, in like a way that you just like want to laugh about.
But anyway, in actual news, the Optimus keyboard, which we've been nutting about for pretty much as long as we've known about
Pretty much everyone has been nutting about who's seen it.
Yeah, it's finally kind of coming out.
Well, basically, if you don't know, it's supposed to be this keyboard where every key has a little monitor on it made with OLEDs. So like if you're playing Quake, instead of having A, B, C, D, or A, W, S, D, there'll actually be little arrows, and instead, you know, each instead of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, you'll actually see like the little chain blade thing and the little pistol and the rocket launcher on your keys, you know, matching the icons on the screen. You
or
know?
Say you're using Photoshop or Audacity or some kind of media edity type thing. Mm-hmm. Your keyboard, instead of in letters, will have, you know, the zoom in button just sitting there looking at you.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense because, you know, you only need the keyboard. You use it a lot, but a lot of times the keyboard doesn't have any functionality. Like, if I'm using, I don't know, Photoshop. And I just start typing in the middle of the, you know, picture. It doesn't do anything. It only does something if I'm using, like, the text tool.
Yeah.
So binding all those things on the screen to buttons on the keyboard really makes it useful, considering it's a lot easier to just push a button than move the mouse, click, move the mouse again.
Well, actually, like, at school, a lot of the editing suites, we have specialized keyboards. And, like, well, even my Final Cut Express came with a bunch of peel-off stickers that you could put over your keyboard saying,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
do this function, this is the razor function, yeah, and this is the,
so this
you know,
eliminates all those
thing.
Stickers and just yep. gives yeah. you a nice shiny.
Or my nasty keyboard I used for, like, over a decade that had those marker, I'd written things all over the keyboard for, like, Mega TF and Quake
yeah.
2.
Yeah.
So anyway, they were going to make this thing, and they made a picture of it and everything, and they designed it, but it's not out yet. What they did make is a little thing that's USB, and it has three buttons, which have monitors on them. And
it's basically kind of a tech demo slash prototype slash buy this to give us money to make the real thing, buy it to look cool.
I guess it might be useful to someone, but not really useful to me.
I think it'd be really useful to those ricer equivalents for computers, the people who have the cold cathodes and everything all over their PCs.
It might be useful if it was wireless, because then think about this, right? You could have a little thing next to, like, your bed, and you pick it up, and it would have a button for, like, and on the screen it would say how many new emails you have, and you could push the button to launch your email thing, maybe something that reads your email out loud to you from your computer, or the other button could,
yeah,
like,
you know, you're really stretching it.
The other button
I don't
could
see
have
any actual
scrolling in it, and you push it to update the news. Or, you know, you could come up with some pretty good stuff. It has uses, but nothing worth buying.
It's low resolution, and it doesn't refresh quickly. It's basically just a tech demo.
Yeah.
So you can actually see physically what this keyboard is going to be like.
But they are making it and selling it, so, yeah.
I think it's going to be $100. It's kind of hard to tell from the website.
$100 to three buttons really doesn't cut it, because I spent less than $100, and I get a mouse and a numpad.
Yeah.
Which doubles as a calculator and a thermometer.
I mean, I guess to me, if the Optimus keyboard, as the original concept was, ever comes out on the market, I'd pay a good $200 for that thing, I think.
I don't think it's going to cost $200.
Yeah, that's why I'm kind of leery of
at
it.
At the current rate of three buttons for $100, that means 104 buttons for... Yeah.
Wow, you're real good at math. I like how you just came up with that figure so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just out of the blue.
Well, 104 divided by 3. So that's about $3,400, $3,500. So $3,500. So you may not or may not know about this. There's a thing called StarForce. And StarForce is this software that comes with PC games, certain PC games, to prevent you from copying and warezing the PC games.
It's basically of all those copy protection programs that have been out in the past, it seems to be the most effective and at the same time the most horrible.
So what this does is it installs a new driver, which is kind of funny, actually, which I'll talk about in a second. And the driver kind of replaces your CD-ROM, IDE driver things, but it doesn't work so great. So what ends up happening is you end up failing to read CDs, and your IDE drivers and modules start failing, and Windows, like, reverts all the way back to 16-bit mode, at which point things just don't work. And there have even been numerous reports of, like, hardware destroying. Like, your DVD-ROMs will just die because this thing uses these shitty drivers that just screw everything up.
And before you call shenanigans on that, I'd like to note that it is fairly trivial. Well, it's not so trivial anymore, but back in the day, it was fairly trivial to ruin CDRs and DVD readers and monitors by giving them improper input.
Yeah.
You take an old monitor and give it certain frequencies, it'll just destroy itself physically.
Mm-hmm. So you basically have a thing designed to prevent people from copying CDs that, in effect, destroys many DVD-ROMs and ruins computers and makes computers crash because it's unstable and poorly written. And a lot of PC game people are using this. And there's a new movement to boycott any game that uses Star Force, and a lot of game companies are stopping the use of it and whatnot, but it's still out there.
I mean, it's. I mean, if any of you read Penny Arcade, Tycho has been railing about it fairly often lately.
So, yeah. What's an example of a game that uses Star Force?
Seven Sins, Anito, Africa Corps versus Desert Rats, Beyond Divinity, Blitzkrieg, Rolling Thunder, Breed, Chaos.
We don't
League,
have to read the whole list.
Yeah.
Codename Outbreak.
Yeah,
it's
we
in
get
all
the
these
idea
games.
That lots of them. Have
all right, wait a minute. It's in the Garfield game.
Yeah.
Who is going to? Pirate
Who wants their computer destroyed by Garfield? Oh my god. No.
Anyway, the point is today or the other day, Boing Boing made a story about Star Force, and they said, yeah, it's malware, whatever. So the guy in charge of Star Force, who's this Russian guy, I think, or Eastern European at the least, sent them an email that was like, oh, I will sue you. You called it malware. I called the FBI on you.
Yeah, no,
and
see,
obviously, he's just lying.
That's the classic sign. I mean, sometimes you'll get a real cease and desist order from someone.
It looks like it's from a lawyer. Like, it has lawyerly talk, and not the kind of lawyerly talk in a Nigerian scam, real lawyerly talk.
But I guess rule number one, because Jack Thompson does this a lot, too, is that if you get any sort of legal threat like that, and it ever includes something along the lines of, I called the police, or I called the FBI, or I called the Secret Service, you can safely ignore it because it's bullshit.
Yeah, it's someone just trying to scare you and being stupid and evil. And if it's a real cease and desist, it'll be very lawyerly and very official. And then you should actually be scared of that, because that means, you know,
unless
copyright.
You're something awful, they've received hundreds of perfectly legitimate cease and desists that they've not only ignored but posted on the website and mocked publicly.
Yeah, yeah. But the point is that if it's something like this, I mean, you can go read this thing online. It's just hilarious. And apparently this guy has sent similar things to all kinds of people who say that Star Force is bad. And everyone's making fun of this guy now because he's such an idiot.
Well,
see,
it's just like you can't cover up bad information by just, you know, telling people not to talk about it.
He's not telling people not to talk about it. He's scaring people into not talking about it.
Well, yeah, he's telling people not to talk about it.
Yeah.
And
essentially,
because if people do talk about it, maybe the companies that buy his terrible program will hear about this and realize that, oh, one, it doesn't work. Two, it actually harms my customers. And three, the guy who makes it's kind of a nut job.
Yeah, they should sue the guy who makes it, like, for real. You know, it's like sometimes they sue people and it's stupid. This guy should get totally screwed.
I mean, I guess for anyone who's looking for perspective on this, a lot of people who are in the know consider it as bad as, if not worse than, the Sony rootkit.
Yeah.
Ew.
So use that as a nice vantage.
I mean, the Sony rootkit would screw you over, but it wouldn't destroy your DVD burner.
Yeah.
Or even your just plain old CD-ROM or whatever you had.
It would just put nasty stuff on your drive.
I'm still shopping around for a computer, and I found pretty much I can buy a super awesome dual-layer DVD burner of awesome speed for like $40.
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
That's because, you know, this Blu-ray HDVD thing is putting down the prices of the normal burners.
Which is fine, because I have no desire for Blu-ray or HD DVD whatsoever.
That's why I totally got the lower-end iBook, though, because basically the only difference was that the 14-inch had the combo drive, and that's just like a DVD burner. And I'm like, it's not worth $200 more.
Yeah, if you can't wait till you get home to burn your DVD.
Sheesh. Okay. But I love my new computer. I opened it last night. I was like jumping around the room.
Yeah, I was trying to make my computer, and I keep looking. Like, I built it today on Newegg, and it was about, it should have been about $500 total. But I fell into the trap that all computer geeks fall into when they're designing a computer online, where, you know, RAM's not that expensive. It's 4 gigs. Why not?
You don't need 4 gigs. Yeah.
I know.
Stupid.
I ended up going with 2 gigs, and they're like,
2's fine.
Three hard drives, RAID 5. I'll get the claw hammer. It's not that much more.
Yeah, it is.
Actually, no, it's not.
So what would you use all that RAM for, other than, like, podcast stuff?
Nothing. Even if he had 4 gigs of RAM,
like,
he would never use more than 2.
I'll point out that I was not literally saying, I'll get 4 gigs.
It's
it was
just like, oh, my God.
It was an example of a computer geek sitting down and just slowly expanding the scope of what they wanted just because they're not really looking at the price as much as they should.
I need RAM. I'm the one of everybody who needs RAM because I do all the 3D.
I get exactly what I need and no more.
Though I gotta
say,
a gigabyte of PC3200 RAM is about $80. It's almost nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, $80 times 4. $320 is quite a bit. You can buy almost a whole computer for that.
Hey,
yeah.
Rim. Be a skinflint Yankee. A penny pincher.
The main thing that got me was that the claw hammer is only $80 more than the lowest end Athlon that'll fit in.
$80 is quite a bit in terms of CPUs. There's some CPUs that can be had for $80.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's quite a jump. I usually go up as long as the jumps are in the $10 to $20, you know, less than $20. I'll keep going higher on the CPUs, but as soon as there's a jump more than $20.
See, that's what it was. I started at the lowest end CPU that'll fit in my computer, mm-hmm. and every jump up was $10 to $20 until the claw hammer that I settled upon. The next chip up was $300.
Yeah, you see,
it's
sort of like this graph where it goes up a little bit, and then it goes crazy. Like the next jump, it's like up by a dollar, up by $2, up by $5, up by $10. You know, and each next chip is only a couple dollars more than the last. But then you look at it from beginning to end,
and you're like, oh,
those,
I jumped
all
up.
Those little $2 is add up to like $50. But that's okay. But then eventually you see the next chip is like $50 more than the previous one. And you got to say, all right, it's not $50 faster than the previous one, but it is $50 more. So I'm not going to get it.
Though, honestly, what I might do is I'll buy the lowest end chip that'll fit in that socket. And then a year from now, I'll put the fastest chip that'll fit in that socket.
You know, that strategy works in theory, but not really. Because what ends up happening is...
Well, keep in mind, with computers for me, I'm pretty much on a 6-year upgrade scale.
Yeah, me too. But you know what happens? Is that chip that's the slowest one that goes in the socket will be too slow for anything you do.
It's more than 3 times faster than my current chip.
You have no idea. This laptop here that I got from work has a crazy fast CPU, right? Mm-hmm. It is the CPU is the only bottleneck for me on this thing. It is constantly at 100%, is pissing me off, and it basically makes it completely useless.
Well, see, for me, currently, my bottleneck is actually RAM and hard drive.
You're going to have a CPU bottleneck, trust me.
Only for encoding MP3s. Most of what I do is just very hard drive intensive. That's why I'm getting the RAID box.
It's more CPU intensive than you think. You just don't realize. Because right now, your CPU is getting maxed out.
No, it's not. Not even close.
Yeah, it is.
No. I do most of my audio filtering on the podcast, my CPU sits around 40% and my hard drive is going chicka, 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 chicka.
Yeah, I think RAM is the big thing for me.
Yeah, but you know what? If your hard drive wasn't going chicka, chicka, chicka and you had an SATA drive, your CPU would be going, oh, I can't do anything.
You know what? It doesn't, because the cheapest chip that goes into the motherboard I'm looking at is probably going to be perfectly adequate for at least a couple of years for
me. What chip is it?
It's Athlon 64, 3200.
That's not really the
best. It's not the cheapest one that'll go in, but it's very cheap.
Oh, so it's not the cheapest one that'll go in.
Well, the cheapest one that'll go in, they don't sell on Newegg anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least I didn't see it. I sorted by price, and that was the cheapest one that was listed in stock.
I would still go look at some comparisons of chips to make sure, because
yeah, I did, and I saw
just
almost
because it's an Athlon, you know, because
yeah, I did. I looked
because
there's all the different cores, and I looked at all the benchmarks, and this isn't a computer show, so I didn't really want to get into it.
No.
But they're all very similar, and the differences in the benchmarks are almost nothing until I get well beyond what I'm willing to spend.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I always mess that up recently when I look at benchmarks, is because the graph doesn't...
A giant jump in the graph, and then you look that the scale is in, like, hundredths of a second.
Yeah, well, no, usually what happens is I look at the graph, and it's a tiny jump, and then I look closer, and it's like 100.
Nah, I was looking, and there's really very little difference in the range of chips that I'm willing to pay money for in terms of performance. I jump beyond the range I'm willing to pay, there's a crazy jump.
Yeah.
If I get the Athlon FX, whatever, but I don't need that.
No one needs the Athlon FX, really. It's like a $1,000 processor. Yeah, screw that. But
yeah. But let's not get into it, because, you know, this is not the...
Get whatever you want, but I'm just telling you, the plan of getting the slowest one and then upgrading to the fastest one doesn't usually work, because the fastest one stays crazy expensive.
Yeah.
Now, well, it worked for me, because honestly, the PC I got now has pretty much one of the slowest chips that'll fit in it. And I could have bought, for very little money, the fastest chip that'll go into this motherboard. And the only reason I didn't is because this computer is so old that it's falling apart anyway. Once I get my new computer, I'm probably going to buy whatever Athlon will fit in this computer when I make a server.
See, I thought about doing that too. I can put the Athlon XP3200 in my computer. But years later, this is like a 2 or 3 year old computer. That thing is still $200 or $300. It hasn't gone down in price at all.
Really? Because the fast ones that will go into my computer are $50, $60.
Well, that's because your computer is so old.
My computer is 6 years old. That's about my upgrade
scale.
My
computer is 2 or 3 years old.
Yeah, like I said, I'm
on
a
6 year... Yeah, but you said your original plan, you said, oh, I'll buy the slowest one, and then a year later I'll upgrade to the fastest. No.
My plan wasn't specifically that.
That's
what
you said.
I said a year or two, whatever.
A year or two? No, you need to literally wait 6 years.
And you know what? Then I will.
But you're not going to live with that slow processor that whole time.
Scott, I'm living with my computer now.
Yeah, barely. You ever, out in about the town or maybe driving down a highway or something, you got to pee, there's no convenient bathrooms, there's a nasty bathroom or whatever, and you resort to, peeing in the woods, peeing in an alley, something like that? Well, some guy developed what I think is a pretty awesome solution. It's called the pee tree. It's basically this giant porcelain tree, and you pee on the tree.
That's just fantastic.
And the way the tree is made, because of the material, the liquid just kind of flows down the tree nicely without getting all over the place.
See, I'm looking at the picture, and one, I imagine drunk guys just peeing on people across from them instead of peeing on the tree.
Well, if you're drunk, but, come on, even drunk guys can hit the toilet most of the time.
No, they can't.
Most of the time.
No.
But anyway, the tree, but the other thing is that the tree's big enough that won't happen. And the tree has a little trough at the bottom of it where the pee collects and then goes in the sewer. And I think it's pretty good because a lot of other countries, they have like these public urinals just like in the street, like little booths. You just go in and pee. And sometimes it's really hard to pee in this country.
It's like every business is afraid of having people who aren't going to spend money coming in and using their bathroom. And
I don't know why they're afraid of that.
Because they're afraid that everyone's just going to vandalize them.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of the case that people... And it's also to keep, the bathrooms cleaner, I guess, so people don't just go in and use them as a public toilet. It's, keeps the number of people down.
Yep. Well, plus, if there were public pay toilets, you can bet there'd be a hobo who finds a dollar and lives in it.
Oh, yeah, that is a problem with the hobos. But, come on, most of the country is a non-hobo area. There are only hobos in, hobo towns.
Though I got to say, even a lot of times, now that I think about it, when I visit New York City, to visit you, and I gotta pee, and there's nowhere to pee unless I go and pay for something somewhere.
They used to have, public pay toilets. Deposit a quarter and you can pee.
If they had that, though, I would totally... I wouldn't live in it like a homeless guy, but I'd find a way to get in and hack the, the lock or whatever it is.
No, it's like
so
the toilet seat is locked.
I would pee for free,
The toilet seat is locked, and then you put the little coin in and it opens.
Wow. I can see so many problems with that. All right, so you
pee
gotta
on
pee.
The seat.
Wait, you gotta put a quarter in to open it, right? You just pee on it.
Yeah.
And then leave.
People probably did.
I had an idea once that we should make, at the rest stops, there would be, a free bathroom and a pay bathroom. So people who were,
oh, you're not this again.
Yeah.
We've argued this to death. It's infeasible. Just
I know,
give it
but
up.
It,
give it up. Give it up,
it's
Kramer.
It's good in concept.
I don't understand.
To execute.
All right, he had this idea that you could somehow have a premium toilet stall in a rest stops that you have to pay to get into.
So that people who were all fussy would pay extra and we'd basically take all their money because they would spend it to go in the nice toilet that was clean.
Would it have couches and perfume?
No, we're talking about the stall.
Yeah.
So all the other ones would be unflushed or clogged and
ew.
The one that you had to... Well, no, it's not because we made them that way.
Yeah, Scott, I remember very specifically that
toilet
your idea
extortion.
Involved extortion, like she said, actually making the other bathrooms.
No,
bad.
That was never my idea.
When that was, in fact, the primary...
No, it wasn't. You're just making shit up now.
We've argued this to death.
To death.
The only thing that was extortion-y was the fact that we would clean the other one more frequently, the pay one more frequently. Than
yeah,
the,
wasn't your other idea that you have to pay to get out, too?
No. But that would be a good idea.
Well, it would only work if it was a separate premium lounge. Have you ever been in the bathrooms at the Eastman Theater?
Actually, you know what? I've never had to pee at the Eastman Theater.
Yeah.
Nope.
Well, the Eastman Theater has these chandelier bathrooms, and it looks like a restroom with couches and stuff like that.
Was there an attendant, the guy who stands there and hands you a towel?
No, but close to
that. I've been to fancy bathrooms
that.
Radio City
bathrooms.
Music Hall has fancy bathrooms,
so,
actually.
Yeah, so, that kind of thing.
See, I could see.
So
if
we
had
go to a rest
attendant.
Stop, and there's a ballroom bathroom next to the normal public toilet.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, put it all together. You get.
Well, that's the only way you could do it. Is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you need one. I think you need a person. There's no mechanical device that can allow a person into a place to pee, especially a guy, and yet not allow them to pee without paying, because they could just pee on the thing that takes their money. There's really nothing that stops a guy from peeing.
you definitely need.
I don't know. It's just a funny mental image.
You need a human being to walk around, and if someone's about to pee where they shouldn't
like,
pee, they gotta.
Curse you, pee on the thing that they takes gotta money. Man, all the vending machines would really stink.
Actually, I remember. Apparently, you used to back in the day. If you poured salt water into most vending machines, they just give you free stuff.
Really? It's just yeah. It would totally break them and screw
and,
with
and
their little heads.
I know they fixed this problem recently, like I think 10 years ago, because most vending machines have a little sign inside. If you look, that says it's basically warning: salt water will not give free food. In fact,
I've never seen that in my life.
I've seen signs like that everywhere.
Are you sure that's not a Snope?
I've seen them. All personally right. Me. Not I've, my cousin's brother's sister's dog, but me.
I've never, ever seen that. You have to point it out to me.
I've seen, you know, funny pictures that are like, do not push the vending
machine. Yeah, I've seen, don't put your hand up the slot because it'll get stuck. That's a good one.
I like the one with, like, the crushed stick figure under a knocked-over Coke machine.
Yeah, it's a great
danger,
one. Don't try
danger.
To push it over. It'll fall down and kill
danger,
you.
Danger, Will Robinson. Yep.
But yeah, pee is mostly salt and uric acid and water, so...
Sweat
yeah.
is like pee. You pee out your armpits every day.
That explains fanny boys.
Yeah, anyway, the pee tree is cool, and I hope someone installs a pee tree somewhere for me to pee on.
So, this doesn't look like pee tree from the Land Before Time, does it?
No, it's a giant white piece of ceramic.
Not
or
a
porcelain.
Cute pterodactyl who likes to eat cherries.
Maybe it's a porcelain pterodactyl.
And my other concern is, this is great for men. What about a woman who has to pee?
Women don't seem to have a problem finding places to pee, do they?
Are you serious?
Scott?
You fool. Have you ever seen the line? That's like, for all you, the
yeah,
king
but that line,
of
not everyone
sexist
in that,
jokes.
Not everyone in that line is there to pee. Women
no,
go to the bathroom to do all kinds of other stuff.
That's
Scott,
the
what
whole,
do you think they're doing
Oh,
there?
My God. No, it takes
Makeup
longer.
And shit.
No, my God. See, he is here. We are going on a rant here because, you know, Scott has just exceeded his quotient of sexism today. For all you listeners who are not aware, Scott is the king of the sexist joke. Like, I was nice. I stayed home today because, you know, I figured going in the city, I had other stuff to do. I wanted to play with my new computer. And so I stayed at the house. And, you know, I looked in the fridge. There's, you know, all this stuff. I'm like, maybe I'll make dinner. So I cook. And he comes in the door. He's like, yeah, that's the way it should be. You know, oh, the woman made us food. Oh, God.
Now, what's sadder is even
grateful
when...
grateful wretch.
How
even when Emily's
not joke?
Here.
It's so easy.
No, it's like... Well, as easy as it may be, it's still, like, grotesquely, you know, you're like a relic from the 1950s something. And the whole
well,
thing about,
I actually,
we're watching
I actually
Gundam
think
Seed.
That women should stay in the
well,
kitchen.
I think the operative thing here is that even when Emily's not here and I have dinner ready and he comes home, he says the same thing to me.
Yeah.
But we all know Scott's the wife in the relationship.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
you're
yeah.
totally uke.
He's
Scott.
The what the Neko they call it now.
He is the uke. Totally uke.
Yeah.
But actually, there's a funny anecdote related to that because RIT has a very. I mean, I'm not.
I think we told
this
one, the Jeopardy.
The Jeopardy.
I think we told that.
I don't think we told this.
Tell it anyway.
I don't remember this. All right,
we'll tell it anyway because we might. I think we told it on one of the unaired lost episodes of Geek Nights.
Maybe.
But basically. The feminist group at RIT, our alma mater, they are a little bit beyond what I would consider rational feminism.
Cunt
I
week.
Think it's just because
Cunt
the
week.
People...
yes.
It's because
yes.
the people who have a full-time job of working for the women-centered RIT are a little whoa.
Yeah, and they're all men, too, who run it. It's kind
of
weird.
Well, a couple of them.
Like, all the heads of it are men.
Yeah.
And the advisor is a man. And he's the biggest... I mean, I've met some dicks in my life. This guy is the most horrible dick I've ever met. He was just a giant jerk every time I ever spoke to this person. It was just the most adversarial relationship I've ever had with anyone. But we noticed that this group was doing a Women's History Month Jeopardy, and you could sign up teams and compete on it. And we decided that we were going to do something hilarious. And by hilarious, I mean offensive. We were going to go, And we came up with this kind of like, oh, what if we did this? Oh, what if we did this? And we just stand there with these big grins on our faces. And no matter what the question was, one of
what the answer was, is
whatever
Jeopardy.
The answer was, yeah, because it's Jeopardy. See, I would have lost right there. Something like Pete would just ring in and say, back in the kitchen. To which, you know, obviously isn't the answer.
And then I would ring in and say, where she belongs.
And we wondered how many times we could do this before they just kicked
before
us out.
Before they kicked you.
And then we like talked ourselves into actually doing it. Like, let's actually do it.
And
we
then
can't do
we
that.
Realized that the Jeopardy was over like an hour ago.
So we spent an hour coming up with a stupid idea. Then we spent another like 20 minutes actually working up the courage to go out and do
something. I was ready to do it.
That offensive.
I just needed a team.
And then we were completely
up.
Shot down by the fact that we missed it because we spent so much time talking about it.
It would have been funny. No, but seriously, like, if I tell a joke, like, you know, a joke about maybe punch out in bicycles, it's not because I'm racist or I actually think
no,
that people
man.
Have a different skin or something.
The thing is, though, a lot of times you have misinformation about women. You say these things, and even if they're not a joke, a lot of times you're not joking. You just say these really obscure things. You're like, why would you think women do that? Or why would you? It's like just intense stereotypes.
Like what?
Oh, God, let's see. Or something.
All right,
about
what do women do in
women
the bathroom, Scott?
Put on makeup and they look in the mirror and
stuff.
The
reason women take so long in the bathroom is, one, men have more places to go because they have urinals. Two, it takes women longer because they have to take off their pants and sit down, then, you know, go through this whole thing.
Plus,
it's
I'll
just a biological difference.
Once I was at a band event and we're all, like, we had 8 buses full of kids and we all had to pee, so we stopped at this rest stop. And the girls all lined up, and there's really no way to speed up what they were doing. And the men, we all had to go so bad that we used every urinal.
Peed in the sink?
Yeah, and the sinks. And yeah. Just, people took turns at the sink.
But how are they? There are more urinals than toilets. Why don't they just put...
Urinals take less space.
Why don't they just make the women's bathroom bigger?
You know what?
Well,
because that would be
they're
smart.
They're actually doing that.
Yeah.
Actually, there were some things that they were saying. Businesses are trying to go back in and increase the floor space of, you know, per foot to... versus the male's bathroom.
Yep, actually, I saw an article on Farg about that not too long ago. They were talking about how the rules originally were that men's and women's bathroom equal square footage, and then this much square footage of bathroom per square footage of occupied space.
Mm-hmm. And here's a good example. This was the time that you made me so mad on the train. You almost made me, like, you know, hit you. Like, I hit you in the knee or something like that. And, that was our big train fight, and people were, like, looking at us. But the whole... Yeah, because boys play with Barbie dolls. No, that was not the way it went. It was boys play with video games and girls play with Barbie dolls. And that's why there are no girls in the sciences.
Girls play video games.
Well, that's what I said. And you said, oh,
no.
They play with Barbie dolls.
Because I said Matchbox cars, not Barbie dolls.
No, you said video games and Barbie dolls.
I didn't say video games. There are girly video games.
Now he's trying to rationalize it. When we were on the train, he was just set on this thing.
All right, Scott, what, Barbie Horse Adventure?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nintendo.
I point out, Scott, that most of the girls we know are quite hip to gaming.
Yeah, those are the girls we know that are, like, old. I'm talking about little kids here.
When I was a little kid, when I was in first grade, she was my girlfriend, and I you could see me make the quotes because we were just friends because I was a little Mac pimp when I was in first grade. I followed all the girls around.
Yeah, he was the lone blue shirt in the sea of jumpers.
Yeah, I went to a Catholic school.
No, but that argument, anyway, all I was trying to say was that the fact that girls play with Barbie and boys play with Matchbox cars is not entirely due to the commercials that they watch during TV shows. There is something other reason besides society ingraining that idea into children, that is the way it is.
I think society is a great part of it. I also think there are some psychological differences. But all I'm saying is a lot of times the way you present this stuff comes across as incredibly, insufferably sexist.
Well, I
don't know. No one else seems to think so.
Yes, they do, Scott.
Yes,
if I was,
they
you
do.
Don't see me beating women or actually.
No, I can see.
All right, Scott. Let me put it this way.
Tanma.
Scott, you often make very good logical arguments about things. However, you often, as your evidence, will make up a hypothetical situation that is absurd to the point of being offensive.
I'm
I'm not bringing up the classic one that all of us cite because I don't really feel like bothering with it on the air. But good God.
Well, see, that's the other thing is I don't think that anything is offensive. I think people are offended.
No, I'm just mainly messing with you because, like I said, tonight you've been on a roll. What was the Gundam Seed thing? It's like her boobs are big because she's pregnant.
Yeah, boobs get big when you're pregnant.
I thought he was making reference because we were talking about she's smart enough to be the captain of the spaceship. And I said, oh, that Scientific American article about, you know, the woman's intelligence changing when they become pregnant, you know, that there are different psychological.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, so like, no, there must be something to that.
She eats
eating
a lot
pretzels
or something.
Eating pizza and pickles, you know? If they're smarter,
Scott, you know what that was, Scott? You just made a joke poorly, and we didn't get it.
He didn't get it.
Well,
it wasn't much of a joke. It was just more kind of like an A.
So let's stop picking on Scott and talk about something else.
Though I'll admit, there was an old, I'm glad the argument came up, because I don't know what it is with you people. You must be sadists. But I got more feedback about yesterday's episode than about any other freaking episode we've done. And everyone
but
was telling me that
about
it was
that
awesome.
Episode.
All it was me and Scott arguing with each other.
About Wikipedia?
About Wikipedia and about Nintendo DS.
Man.
Instead of doing the show we wanted to do, we just yelled and screamed at each other, and I cut out a good 20 minutes of arguing.
That wasn't even a good arguing. I mean, we said, I think we ran through the whole argument in Wikipedia and then ran through the whole thing again from the beginning.
Yep, but then we ran through it yelling at evidence.
Yeah.
Yeah, when it comes to argument, these two are pros.
But why do you people want to listen to us argue?
That's, I don't know, they're just...
Nobody cared about when we did a nice series on how to build a computer. Everyone cares about, haha, Scott and Rimmer yelling at each other. Woo!
It's the conflict. You know, they always tell us this in, you know, screenwriting class.
But I don't
conflict, the drama. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know if strangers want to hear that, though. That's the thing.
They apparently
do. It's highly entertaining watching YouTube go at it sometimes.
I didn't see any feedback from strangers on that episode.
No?
I only saw feedback from people we know.
All I got to say about Wikipedia is I'm writing that article about Flemish giant rabbits.
Yeah, because I got to say, I learned one weird thing about rabbits on Wikipedia, and it's that rabbits are instrumental to the lemon farming industry.
I'm going
to
go farm me some lemons.
Well, they protect the lemons from parasites or something?
No. It's actually
fertilizer.
It's their urine and their droppings.
They pee and poop all over the lemon fields?
Yep.
Yes, and for what the chemical makeup of those components is very conducive to citrus.
Probably because the rabbits are eating citruses?
I don't think rabbits particularly like a lemon.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, is that they don't eat the lemons, but they eat other things that are vegetable, fruit-type matter.
I always thought rabbit urine was very acidic in general, but Rim said it's because it has a lot of nitrates in it.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, I'm obviously going on what I remember from a Wikipedia article I read a few days ago.
We should ask a rabbitologist.
Ooh, I'm a rabbitologist.
For real?
I just read a lot of books about rabbits. I'm probably, of anybody in this room, I'm probably the best first.
I would say so.
The breeding habits and...
I don't know if you're a real rabbitologist, though.
I'm not
a real...
I don't have a degree in rabbits. I've had rabbits ever since I was very small. And
I would say that she knows more about rabbits than I know about dogs. And I freaking love dogs.
I'm obsessive to the point of being kind of scary about it. But
yeah, that's
for
sure.
Yep.
So, anyway, what's the episode today?
Yeah, it was going to be about, since it's gaming day.
It's still about. We still got time.
Talk about the chair fund.
Okay, we're going to get there. So, I want to talk about...
I've totally forgotten about that, so thank you.
Let's talk about this gaming group that's near here. We like board games, and in college, we had people to play board games with.
Yeah, like, we had a whole club of hundreds of people just playing board games.
Well, it wasn't hundreds, but it was big enough.
It had hundreds of members. They didn't all show up.
Yeah, so you ended up with, like, 50 people.
Yes, our WAG.
Yeah. So, we had places to play board games, people to play board games with. And board games require usually 3 and sometimes up to 7 people, you know, depending on the game.
It's hard to make a 2-player board game for lots of mathematical reasons.
There are a few 2-player games that I'm going to try out. I think they might be good, but I don't know how long they'll last us. But the four player game seems to be like the best games because it's, you know, there's none of that 2 people ganging up on the 3rd player business, and it's just generally good all around. So, we didn't have anyone to play games with when we were here because there were only 2 of us. And
we were desperate. Like, I moved here over two years before he did, and I was searching, and I couldn't find gamers anywhere.
So, finally, I found this group of gamers. I found out that they existed or had once existed, and they were called MAWS, the Mid-Hudson Area War Game Society. And it took me, like, months and months and months to actually contact them because they were so out of touch with reality, I guess.
Their website was a tripod site.
No, their website didn't. The tripod site didn't exist. They had a website before that was destroyed. The tripod site is
recent.
Wait,
destroyed? Like what? In a fire?
I don't know, but it no longer existed. There were links to it that were all dead.
How does a website get destroyed?
They put it on some hosting and they cancel it.
Yeah. I guess.
Wow.
So then they got the tripod site very recently, and then it was terrible. And then now we got them a real site. But the point is I went there, and, you know, they're old crusty war gamers, but they're not, you know, personality-wise, they're pretty good compared to some other old scary guys I've, you know, seen and played games with.
Yeah, the people at our way we used to know.
Yeah, like, these guys have okay personalities, and they're fun to play games with, but even though they look kind of scary and old, which they are kind of scary and old, and they, you know, they play sometimes scary war games, which I don't like so much. So I've been there twice so far, playing at the local game store, and, you know, these guys are sort of complaining that they can't get more members. And after observing two of their meetings, it's plain to see why. They don't talk to anybody. I was sitting there, we were playing this giant train game, and there must have been, over the course of the day, like, over 10 people coming over and looking at the train game and going, ooh, and they were obviously very interested. Did anyone have a conversation with them? No. Did anyone even so much as say hi? Only I did. You know, I tried to have a conversation with this one cool old guy who came around, but, you know, then he got up and left because everyone else is paying so much attention to this game. And I was like, hey, you guys here to recruit or are you here to play games? So, yeah. Now, they have more scary things about them, like the chair thing.
The chair thing that she... Basically... They collect dues. They used to collect dues.
And when someone says they collect dues for a club, I think, oh, they're going to buy advertising, they're going to buy games, they're going to buy a banner, they're going to do something.
So we asked them what their dues are for, and they said, oh, that's the broken chair fund.
And I'm like, broken chair fund? I thought it might have been like some sort of tradition, like they have a broken chair they pass around or something silly.
Or it might have been, you know, one of those terms that it's words, but it means something else.
Yeah. But no, it's quite literally because many of them are rather rotund.
Very.
Or majestic.
It was literally.
And they would often break chairs.
Now, the other thing is I realized these people don't have a lot of money. I don't know if it's because they buy too many games or what, but... they didn't seem extremely wealthy.
That seems to be a trend among not so much video gamers, but German board gamers who aren't
in
college.
And role-playing gamers and LARPers.
It's like once you leave college and you're a board gamer, it's hard to still make money, which I don't see, but apparently that seems to be the case.
Yeah. It's like I was the only one there. Like I was the only one there who didn't mind just going eat out anywhere. I was like, yeah, let's go to the Necco. And they were like, whoa. Yeah.
That's, you know, too high class.
Yeah, I guess they couldn't. They didn't want to do that.
I don't know.
One guy was unemployed, though, so I can understand him.
I wouldn't think it's like the most expensive hobby under the sun, though. You know, you got some people going yachting. And, of course, maybe it's a different demographic. But,
well, what I'm starting to think is that it seems that most people who like board games... The ones who are, like, they like board games, but they also have those other factors of being successful in life. Like, they're just good at something or whatever. Tend to go when they leave college and give up all their fun hobbies and have a normal, boring job and work hard at it. Mm-hmm. And because I know a lot of people at IBM who seemed like when they were young, they were really cool. They were into these German board games back 20, 30 years ago. And now they're married to people who hate board games and they never play them anymore. And all they do is work, go home, talk to their family, watch TV, go to sleep.
This sounds like you're being jaded from your experience at IBM.
Yes. God, yes.
It's like, they all fight with their wives and
no, but I even see it like...
miserable and sad.
Sometimes when you listen to podcasts or read blogs, you see people who are interested in geeky things. And like, their wives or girlfriend... It's always like, how do I get my girlfriend to do this with me? How do I get my wife to do this
or
with me?
Or boyfriend. I've seen a lot of the other way around, too.
Yeah.
Where there's a cool, geeky girl, and she marries or goes with some, like, dumb old jockey schlub guy who doesn't care.
Yeah. I don't know. I see more the other way around. Like, I see a lot of geeks...
There's a skew.
Yeah, I see a lot of geeks with non-geek girls, and, you know, I'm open to trying new things. You know, sometimes you guys yell at me. You're like, how could you not know this? But, you know, Scott yells at Rim, so then I don't feel so bad. You know,
Scott
Rim's
yells
behind on the technology.
I yell at anyone who doesn't know something they should know.
No, I think I should just edit that statement, Scott. You yell at anyone.
I yell at anyone who doesn't know something they should know.
All right, listeners, you know our things of the day, right? Well, oftentimes, I'll see a thing of the day. Like I see a thing, like, oh, that's going to be awesome. And I send it to Scott to see what he thinks. And he responds, "That's old, archaic, archaeological news." And I think, "Oh,
hey, Rim,
old is it?" And
then he says, "Be careful with that news. It's an antique."
And then he says something like, "I saw that an hour ago."
Yeah.
"You're gonna turn into a gargoyle."
No, I don't think so.
Snow crash, gargoyle.
Oh, the light on the iBook is like going bright dim.
It's breathing. It's breathing. Dim. I love that. I don't know. It's such a little. It's purely cosmetic. But when I first got my iMac and I saw that,
yeah,
I
Rim,
was just
can you like rotate your chair so it doesn't
breathing.
Like shine in my eye?
Shine in your eye.
It's getting bright.
It's a tiny little LCD. What are you talking about?
Not only is it the weakest LED. Like white
LED.
It's behind plastic.
It gets pretty bright when it's at its maximum, right?
No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You're all the way across the room, you fool.
No,
Rim's got his eye up to it. He's like, "It doesn't hurt."
I put my eye a millimeter from it and stared at it.
So we got off topic of the gamer guys.
Yes. So, but I'm geek enough. I can run with the rest of them. I make the grade. Okay, so Moz.
So there's these scary gamer guys, and I'm trying to straighten them out.
We basically kind of took them over, as in we built them a website and a forums, and we run their mailing list now. Oh. And I foresee a transfer of power.
Yeah, the transfer of power, though. Their election next is in October 2007.
Election? They have like 5 members.
Yeah, it doesn't matter because as soon as... See, if I am the guy who actually talks to people, then eventually I'll be the public face that actually says something that people know, and I'll be friends with all the new people. And as soon as I recruit more new people than there are existing people, that's the end.
Yeah. I mean, I'd like to say, oh, I'll do that too, and I will. But you see, the funny thing is, despite all the work we've done for this group, I've never met a single one of them.
Because I've been to 2 of their meetings ever.
Every time they've met, I've gone out of town.
Yeah, and I'm probably going to be out of town the next time they meet, too. So it's kind
of
like...
Maybe
the month
the
of conventions.
We have social
like,
lives.
Yeah, seems like a lot of the people, though, in the group have families and things and don't show up, too.
But you guys, what's planned for next month? You kind of told
God.
Me about this. This
convention,
is,
convention,
this is
convention.
Pretty intense
we're
convention
going to, like,
schedule.
4 conventions. We're probably going to Rochester this coming weekend. And, you know, I don't even know if I have a hotel room for the convention I'm going to next weekend.
If you don't know if you have a hotel room, I'm not going.
I'm probably going.
Go without your hotel room.
Which is it,
Katsukan?
Katsukan.
I'll stay home and get something done.
Katsukan.
Maybe it's, I forget which one's when. I gotta look figure all this out. They're all coming up.
Check and see if Katsukan.
I'm getting my new car this week. We're going. I guess I'm gonna go to Rochester if I get the car soon enough.
Yep.
And then
we're gonna go to UberCon for a day.
We're gonna go to UberCon for a day.
And
all
right, for anyone out there who lives in New York, like downstate New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. UberCon, Google it, check it out. It's just an awesome gaming con. We're going to be there. We'll totally play Tigris and Euphrates with you.
Yeah, totally.
Yay!
And then I'm going to one day of the New York Comic Con.
Yep, I'm thinking about going more and more now that I know some more people going other than just Scott.
Next year, I'll totally be up for the New York Comic Con because I've wanted to go to that for years and
I
got to
go
now,
see Min
I'm
May's
going
gonna
away.
Be there, the original Min May.
Min May?
Yeah, Leiji, what's her name? Mari Ijima is going to be there.
Oh, it was weird because I just read an article about her. Like how
totally
she
going,
went to America.
She's totally
you know,
going all
became...
around the country because ADV is redubbing Macross and they got her to do the English dub.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
she's been in America for
and
years.
And redoing the singing and everything.
That's
yeah,
so neat. Actually,
and she even
that's...
has like her own albums on her own selling them and all that stuff.
I got to say, that's a cool thing to just reprise your voice in a totally different language years after
your original role. She's going to be there, and my buddy Rushkoff's going to be there. I'm going to finally see him.
Actually, yeah, you should try to strike up a conversation with him. Since you won his contest, you'll have a way to get his notice.
Oh, yeah. Woo-hoo. I'll just be like, "Hey, I'm Scott Rubin," then he'll know who I am. Probably.
See if we can get an interview with him or something.
That could be cool.
The problem with interviewing him is he's 10,000 times smarter than any of us.
You know what? That's good. Then we'll set him going on something, and then we'll get a nice recording of it.
Yeah, maybe. And just kind of...
Emily, you should try to take his classes. He's an NYU professor.
Really? What
he teaches,
area?
Like, crazy media studies and things.
Media studies? Well, that might be CAS, but,
His classes are probably the hardest classes to get into. They're, like, giant lectures at night.
Yeah.
You know, with like lots of people, and it probably doesn't count towards your major at all.
Yeah.
Media studies. Well, it could be a gen ed though.
All right.
Yeah.
You know, because I do have a certain amount of humanities credits I have to.
He always announces when he has a new he only teaches like one class per semester. So the next time I see one of his, he always announces it on his website because you can get all his course materials on his website. So you can take the class along at home if you want to. You know, instead of if you can't go. So the next time I see an announcement for a new class, I'll tell you.
Yeah, give me a heads up on that one. That's cool.
And actually, if we get any sort of portable recording stuff for Geek Nights before that weekend, perhaps we'll do some impromptu interviews at it.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Or at all the other little... Because we're not doing appearances in any of these cons coming up. We're just kind of going to them as normal guys.
Yeah. Too bad the Comic Geek Speak guys are the official podcast of the New York Comic Con, so they'll be probably interviewing all over the place.
That's fine. That's fine. We got Otakon.
Yeah, we do.
Woo.
So, these gaming guys.
Let me
talk about one of the games I played with these guys. We played... we'll talk about the train game, because that was the biggest. Train game was Railroad Tycoon. This thing is three boards. It was so big, it had three boards. You ever seen a game with three boards?
No.
BattleTech.
You know what? It was bigger than three BattleTech boards.
It's pretty big.
It was so huge. So it's basically a giant hex map with cities, and you would have money, and if you didn't have enough money to do what you wanted, you had to take shares from the bank. And then you had to pay like $1,000 of your money per share per turn. So taking too many shares would cut into your profits. And your victory points would be your like income. So if you didn't have enough victory points, you had too many shares, you would lose money every turn and have to take out more shares. And that's what happened to me. I lost. But you just spent money to build track. And then you would ship cubes along the track to get more points.
Do the cubes actually fit in the little trains?
No, it's not like that.
Ah.
It's just cubes.
And what good is it?
It was all right. I don't think it was like my favorite game ever, but it was pretty good.
Well, I think part of our problem is that between Puerto Rico and Tigris and Euphrates, we've pretty much come upon the current perfection of gaming.
Yeah.
At least that type of gaming.
This game...
The Apex.
Yes. This game I think would be really fun if you have a lot of people, like five or six people, and you all want to get around a big table and like... You know, yell about cubes and stuff for like a while.
Mm.
You know? Why don't we just get a bunch of wooden cubes and take a chessboard and move them around and yell?
Because then you wouldn't have any trains.
Anybody out there know Bug Room?
Oh, yeah, Bug Room.
I'm trying to figure out what Bug Room is because my sister was doing this. She's pre-med and biology. So she was going on a job shadow thing in an emergency room with one of our doctor friends in Wisconsin.
Ew, scary.
What? Why?
Emergency room guts and things.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, some of the things were pretty intense. But anyway, she had some stories. But my cousin, you know, since she was staying with my aunt, my cousin is really a whole bunch of geeky friends, really into D&D and a lot of German board games. But they were playing this chess thing. It's like with two chess boards and you could switch pieces in and out and it was called Bug Room, I think. And I had never heard of it, and I can't really find any information on it, so,
I mean, one thing I gotta say, from the vague description we got, it seems to sound a lot like, it's not chess, but it is to chess as the Carcassonne expansions are to Carcassonne. As in, you use chess pieces and chess boards and some chess rules, but it doesn't play like chess, because it's crazy.
How do you... There's no such thing on Board Game Geeks, so now I'm really... curious.
Well, yeah.
It's
you
weird,
sure you're spelling it or saying
it? No, it was like Bug Room.
Bug Room.
Not Bug Rum or something?
No.
Maybe. I just heard it said out loud.
Where did they learn the game from? Did like someone teach it to them or something?
Yeah. She was playing with my cousin's friends.
No, but where did they... Is the, you know, any more etymology of it or such?
I don't know what Bug Room stands for, but...
We'll have to do some research here. Because maybe it's like Mafia. I mean, Mafia is on the internet fairly widely now, but that wasn't always the case.
A lot of people call it Werewolf.
Yeah, and some people call it this other thing, too. They call it, like, the Militia.
Bugalos, Bugs Bunny game, Bugs, Go Bug, Don't Bug Me.
Yeah, so if anyone out there has ever played Bug Room, or a game that involves two chessboards and some sort of teleportation, kind of curious about it.
Yeah.
And any progress out there on finding that movie, kids?
Oh, Nothing Lasts Forever?
Yeah, she saw the movie with me.
Oh, yes, Eloy. We're talking about homeless people. They can take you to the moon, did you know?
Yeah, homeless people. You have to meet Father
Hot Asian chicks on the moon. And Dr. Bronner.
Oh, God, Dr. Bronner. You know what? Dr. Bronner's going to be my thing of the day tomorrow, because I don't think any of you out there know who he is.
This is good morning. My favorite part of the movie. I can't spoil it. It's just too good. It's just
Bug Room totally can't be the name of this game because there is nothing on Google.
I'll look it up.
Either they invented it or they changed the name or something.
I don't know.
And that was Geek Nights with Rim and Scott. Special thanks to DJ Pretzel for our opening theme.
Be sure to visit our website at www.frontrowcrew.com. If you like our podcast, you'll love our forums. Make sure you visit them. You can send your email feedback to geeknights@gmail.com. And if you want, you can leave us a voicemail at 206-333-1537.
Geek Nights airs every weeknight, Monday through Thursday.
Geek Nights is recorded with absolutely no studio and no audience. But unlike those other talk shows, it's actually recorded at night.